that Brother Farmer has pastored two churches and then gone for 3 weeks and then come back and pick right up where he left off. And now Brother Summers is doing the same thing, and his schedule two and two. So the same thing. Amazing. Amazing how the Lord just keeps it going, and the power of God continues to be displayed. So we're thankful for the great work that God has done and is doing and will continue to do as we continue to pray. Praise God. Stand with me. We're thankful to have Brother Farmer. We want him to come minister the word of the Lord. Amen. And let's open our minds and our hearts to receive what God has for us today. Praise God. God bless you, Brother Farmer.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you, bro. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise today. We love you, Jesus. Exalt you, God. Lift you up. Hallelujah. You're this world's hope. Amen. You're our hope. Oh, God. Do you know the name of the Lord today? What's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. The name of the Lord. You can be seated in that wonderful, precious name. Amen. So thankful to be here and feel the presence of the Lord and see all you friendly faces that are smiling back. Amen. Any of you that ain't smiling, you can leave. You can go. I just want happy people here. I want smiling people here. No, I'm just teasing. I am thankful. I'm thinking, watching as we worship and see all this pew filled with Glovers. And that God has blessed his church with Glovers. Can you say amen? And I was thinking, if the other two sons were here, they'd fill that pew, and they'd fill that pew. Then I got to thinking, you know, if all the men that you've had effect on in your ministry that have become ministers and missionaries, if they were here, and if the other two families were here, this place would be packed. I'm not so sure that you realize how great a man that you have over you. Thank you. Thank you for standing for your pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love him. I love him dearly. I love Sister Glover. You can be seated, Sister Glover. Everybody else can stand, but you can be seated. No, I'm teasing. Sit down. Sit down. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel good today. I got to spend the evening with my sister, and she's a... This time she brung up the Bible study. I didn't have to. Hallelujah. There's growth. Amen. In the Gibbons house. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. I love my sister. She is I'm very thankful for Sherry and the church and all you guys loving her. And one of the reasons I'm rushing right back to Anchorage this afternoon is we have a saint that's going to Life Church now that we had in Guyana for I don't know, two and a half years, and she needed some love, and where she was living was pretty tough stuff, and so she moved down to Anchorage, and the Life Church has just loved this lady, and she's coming out of her shell. I tell you, the kingdom of God is awesome. We're not something that's separated. We're a body. We're all a body. All the churches in the Alaska District praying for Brother Springer and fasting is because of the body. Because of the body. Amen. And the body has been brung together by this awesome thing, this awesome book that we call the Bible. And the Bible is God's way of redeeming man. It was put together for the redemption of man. That's why it's here. It's not to be ignored. If you spell it B-I-B-L-E, it means basic instructions before leaving Earth. If you don't get them instructions, there's something missing there. Amen. You got to have them instructions, you know. And when you read the Bible and you start studying the Bible, you realize we got a God that created everything, spoke it into existence. And then he made man in his own image. And also you get to reading, you find out we got an enemy in there that wants to fight us, and he is our enemy. If you believe in God, you better believe in the enemy, because you have one. Okay, a lot of people have a target on their back and don't even realize it. Yeah, but you have an enemy, and the enemy does a lot of strange things, but he is noted for being a liar. He can't tell the truth if he was standing on the Bible, and he knows the Bible pretty good. And he was even quoting scripture to Jesus. Yeah, he thinks he's pretty powerful, but he's not. He's not. The Word of God is more powerful than him. The Bible tells us that he's given us power. Power, that authority, amen, against the enemy of our soul. He says you can tread on scorpions and you can tread on snakes. And I give you all power over the enemy. And you get to looking at that and you realize that the scorpion bites with the tail and the snake bites with the head. So it's like this, heads or tails, you win. You just gotta have enough instruction to use the authority that God gives you. But even with that, he still messes with people of God. He messes with people that are called for God. God doesn't make mistakes when he chooses somebody. I'm here to tell you, if you're in this room today, you've been chosen, you need to pay attention. Pay attention. You're not here by accident. You may think you are. I don't know. I recognize a bunch of faces. There's a bunch of them I don't recognize. I want you to know that you are destined to be here today. And I'm probably reaching for you because the devil's probably lying to somebody here today that you can't serve God. You know, you've sinned too much. You're unfaithful. You don't pay your tithes and offerings, even though you've heard it. Well, amen. Well, God's given you a chance to hear that you need to do that. But what I'm here to tell you today is something that is pretty cool. And I just was studying this at the mine. I was telling Pastor about it at dinner Thursday, and I felt like if I was going to stay Thursday and preach, that's what I would preach. And the Lord's had lots of opportunity to change my mind. I've asked him to change my mind. I want to do the will of God, and I'm still at the same place. So I'm going to talk to you today about the lineage of Jesus Christ. See, there's only one perfect man that ever walked the face of this earth, and his name was Jesus. And the devil likes to point out our inconsistencies and our faults and our errors. But you got to understand, there ain't nobody perfect. Jesus, and maybe Sister Glover. But other than that, the rest of us have faults. Amen. And you notice I'm not laughing. I don't know of one fault that she has. And if you know one, please don't tell me because I don't want to know. There's some things we just don't need to know. Amen. Sister Glover, I love you. You're awesome. I appreciate you so much. Okay, if you would stand with me, we're going to Matthew 1 and 1. And Brother Mike, would you come up here and grab a mic for me? I would like you to help me read some scripture today. Is that okay, Pastor? Yeah. I struggle sometimes with names. There's a bunch of names here that I struggle with, and my wife's always corrected me, so I figured out how to stop that. I just have her read them. But she's not here, but Brother Mike's here. Amen. So let's read this together. Brother Mike and I'll read it together, and you folks read your Bible or the screen. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat
Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram. Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him a clap, hand clap about that. Thank you. That was perfect. Appreciate that. Thanks for the help. You can stay up here and give me some strength if you would. Amen. I got men of power behind me. You may not realize that, but I do. I do. And I just want you to just pray with me a moment. This is about who God chooses. I want you to understand, God chose every one of these men. These are not by accident. They're not all Jews. Some of them are Gentiles. Some are Moabites. Anybody else? Well, I don't know. I know who she is. I'm talking about, is there any other Amorites in this or just Moabites and Gentiles? Yeah. Okay, amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we love you, praise you, exalt you. Thank you, God, for today. Amen. I ask you, Lord, for your word, God, to touch us today, to anoint your speaker, God. Your word is already anointed, but God, I need your help today. I need to speak what needs to be heard. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Okay, before you're seated, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad they're here, and you can be seated in the name of the Lord. Can you hear the laughter in here? Can you feel the peace in this place? This is a house of fellowship. This is a house of love. This is the kingdom of God. I'm feeling his presence all over me. Oh, hallelujah. I got a lot of Bible to go through, so I'm going to tell it as a story, and at the end we'll put up some scriptures. But just follow my story, and just allow me to teach you what I believe the Lord wants us to hear today. In Luke chapter 1, there's a priest named Zacharias. Did I pronounce that right? Zacharias. And he was a priest. He was an elderly man. His wife was named Elizabeth. She was also elderly. And Elizabeth was barren. Well, this priest had a job to do. And they do shift work, kind of like I do at the mine. You know, they'd go on for some length of time, and they'd go off for some length of time. Well, he was in his season when he's supposed to be at work. And he's there, and his job is to keep the candles lit and do the work of the priest. And this is a man, an old man. He's been a priest a long time. Probably from a child he was raised in this. And he's there doing the work of God. He's keeping the lights on, amen. And all of a sudden there's this angel right there by the altar. And the Bible says that this guy was afraid. You can pray and you can talk and you can do things about angels and all that. You can be part of the kingdom of God, but if you ain't ever had one of them in your presence, it can be a little bit frightening. My point is, even though you're a priest, God still needs to talk to you. God still needs to get your attention. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So while he was executing his business here, this angel appeared to him. Amen. And Zacharias was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Let me tell you what, fear is not of the Lord. You can be in the temple. You can be next to an angel. I don't care. Fear will attack you. Fear will attack you. Oh, no. Yeah, but no, fear is not of God. So the angel said, hey, don't be afraid. Fear not. Your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bear a son. So if you look up the word angel, the definition of angel is a messenger. He come from God to give this priest a message. Amen. Hallelujah. But when he heard this message, even though he'd been praying about it, he said, how can that happen? My wife's too old. I'm too old. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. And so the angel's response to the man's response to his message, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Let me tell you what, God's messengers are pretty important people. And they come in the form of angels. The Bible says you entertain angels unaware. You look at a definition of an angel, you go to the Strong's and look this up, you're going to see that an angel is a messenger. And an angel is a pastor. It's there in a definition. Messengers. These two up here are messengers of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've all gone through things. We are men, but God uses us as messengers. Amen. And when this man, this priest even, so let me tell you what, if a priest can make a mistake, so could you. We're not perfect. Remember, only one perfect man walked the face of this earth, okay? All right, so if he can make a mistake, amen, then we could make a mistake. And this angel had to do something because this priest could actually shut down the plan of God. So the angel says, I'm going to make you dumb. You're not going to speak till this is over with. And shut his mouth. You know why? Because life and death. Now listen to this. This is the plan of God that he come to deliver. This is talking about John the Baptist. Okay? He had to come. God chose who he was going to work through. And he says, in order for God's plan to work, I got to shut this guy's mouth. Or he could ruin God's plan. That's what it means. That's what it means. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Well, a little bit further down to the book of Luke, the angel hadn't left town. He had another place he needed to stop. And so he stopped. Amen. The Bible tells us that angel Gabriel was sent from God, so maybe he went back up and come back to the city of Galilee to a virgin. And his angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, we know that these folks are in the church, but they're not priests. Her future husband and her, she's just highly favored because she's still a virgin and she's living for God. She's been listening to her messenger. Amen? So when the Lord, when this angel said this, the Bible says that she saw him and she was troubled at his saying. Not troubled at his presence. Wow. Okay. See, the priest was troubled because he's seen an angel. And she's not troubled with that. That don't scare me. But boy, what he's saying. And the reason that she was troubled because he told her she was going to have a baby. Yeah. You're going to conceive in the womb. And she's a virgin. And everything she knew, there was only one way to have a baby. And she knew no man. So she wasn't rejecting the message. She just said, how can this be that I know no man? And the angel, instead of making her dumb and shutting her mouth, he explained it to her. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to come upon you. And what's going to be in you and conceived in you is the holy thing. To be born of thee, called the Son of God. And nothing is impossible with God. And Mary's response to the message from the messenger was, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel had received what he wanted to hear, and the Bible says he departed. He left. There's something about your messenger and how we receive the message. Some of the messages may scare you. Some of them may trouble you. But please consider, don't let things come out of your mouth that can alter or change the message. Because every one of you have the power to do that. Don't go, oh no, that ain't, uh-uh. There has to be personal revelation. If you're going to learn about Jesus Christ and his kingdom and what's coming down the road and what he wants in your life, there has to be personal rhema spoken to you. Got to be personal word spoke to you. How do you know that that's personal word? I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. This is for somebody here. When a word's spoken to you and you go, well, that's for me. Quit throwing it over your shoulder. That is for me. I'm feeling God in this place. I'm feeling the Lord in this place. I'm feeling His presence all over me. Angel, I'm so glad God sent an angel to me. I'm so glad Pastor Sirstead and Brother Tolstead were angels in my life. They were messengers from God. If you're questioning that, you go to Revelation 2 and see who the Lord is sending the letter to. It's unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, and it's several in there. Unto the messenger of the church. Who's the messenger of the church? Say, I got it. Oh, come on, you didn't say it. I got it. All right. I'll trust you. Well, in this text that Brother Mike helped me read, there are several names in this. But I want to stop off at Jacob for a little bit. Jacob, if you look up the meaning of the word, he's a heel holder, a heel grabber, supplanter. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. But God chose him. In Genesis 25, we see where Jacob, he was longing to have the birthright. And Esau come in from the field, and he was faint. His brother, who was supposed to have the birthright, and he was hungry. Esau says, hey, give me some of that soup you got there. Boy, I faint. And Jacob says, okay, I can do that, but give me your birthright first. And it's amazing to me that over a bowl of soup, that this guy would say, what good is that birthright to me? And sometimes that happens in the church today. What good is this church to me? Well, I come to tell you, the church is a good place. You got a good messenger here. Amen. Hallelujah. But Esau said, what good is this to me? So later on in his life, see, Esau just thought it was just words. He thought it was just something, but when he spoke that out of his mouth, something happened in heaven. When he spoke it, not when he thought it, when he spoke it. Because out of the tongue comes life and death. Amen. When it come time for the blessing to be passed down onto the firstborn, his eyes were dim, and he said to Esau, he said, son, I need you to go out there and kill me a deer, make that savory meat that I love, and bring it home and cook it for me, and I'm going to give you your blessing. Esau is out the door, amen. But somebody overheard this, and they loved Jacob more than Esau. And anyway, Rebekah, who was the mother of both, do you know a parent's going to have favorites? Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, that's not helping anybody. That's not helping this situation. Not even in my notes, but that's for free. You can have that one. But Rebecca, he told her son, he says, hey, the birthright blessing is getting ready to come down. Go out there and kill one of them goats and bring it back, and I'm going to cook it, and you're going to take it into the father. And he says, oh, if I do that, it's going to be a curse come upon me. And she says, I'll take the curse. Don't worry about it. Do what I said. So she cooked the meat. She made it like her husband liked. Amen. She put the goat's fur on this young man because he wasn't rough and didn't smell like the outdoors like Esau. So when he come in amongst the father, he said, who's this? And he said, well, this is Esau, your firstborn. And I've done according as you said. There's Jacob lying to his father. Remember, God chose this man. Chose him. He said, I made your venison so you can bless me. And it happened. Isaac, he says, you know, the voice is a little bit different, but come here, let me feel you. And the son come close to him, and he started feeling him, and he feeling that goat hair and smelling that smell. And he goes, boy, the voice sounds like Jacob. But the smell, I feel like this is Esau. Let me tell you something. Your feelings can lie to you. Just because you feel something that goes against what you're hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Don't let your feelings interrupt your hearing. Your ears are so important. There's a scripture that talks about a lamb being chewed up by a lion, and all there is a piece of a leg and a piece of an ear. And God can take that. If you can hear the Word of God, if you can get your feelings out of the way, amen. If you can get your fear out of the way of obeying God's Word and hear it, amen, then you will be whole, amen. So Esau, he's upset, and he goes, isn't there just one blessing for me? And might have been a little one there. But Esau says, is he not rightly named Jacob? Because he has supplanted me these two times. Oh, man. So later on in life, you know, mom sent him away. Esau was going to kill him and fear, and this is the thing. In the scripture, it says that she said, just go to my brother's house and for a little while. See, she knew she was sinning. She knew she was messing up. Just go for a little while. But I never see in scripture where he ever seen his mother ever again. That's the last time she ever seen that boy. You know, your sin will lead you further than you want to go. You will pay more than you intend to pay. And sometimes your feelings will interrupt that. It's where you don't want to obey and won't want to do. Amen. But anyway, Jacob went on. He got married. I'm skipping a lot of scripture here. But he's getting ready to go back home. And he sends some presents to his brother, and some men come running back to him, some messengers, and they said, well, we met him, and he's got 400 men with him, and he's coming hard. And fear come upon Jacob, and fear come upon him, and he split the bands and sent one ahead and the other one behind. Amen. And then what happened to Jacob is sometimes what happens to us. And it's sad, but hear me today. Understand my heartbeat. He had to get in trouble. He had to be afraid for his family. He was in fear, and then he prayed. That'll preach right there now. Then he prayed. So he went alone. He went off alone by himself. And the Bible says he wrestled, amen, with a man until the breaking of the day. And when this angel saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched his thigh and made it go out of joint and the muscle or whatever. He made him limp for the rest of his life, but he still never let go. And Jacob says, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. So this is what the messenger said to him. He said, what's your name? So when his father says, what's your name? He said, I'm Esau. But after prayer and after wrestling all night, the angel says, what's your name? And he says, Jacob. And immediately he changed because he told the truth. It was a sign of repentance to the angel. Amen. Hallelujah. He was changing right there with the wrestling and the prayer. Amen. What is your name? And the angel said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. Now listen, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, as thou prevailed. Hear this liar, this deceiver, this supplanter, because he told the truth in prayer, because he repented, he had power and authority with not just God, but with man. So did God make a bad choice? May it look like it to begin with, but God chose him. There's another man that I want to talk about is Judah. The Bible says Judah, with his brethren, he went down and he found this Canaanite lady and he married her and she conceived and she named that boy Ur. Conceived again, she named him Onan. conceived again, and his name was Shelah. And Er, his firstborn, took Tamar to be his wife. The Bible says that Er was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord slew him. I don't know what that guy did. But he was in the lineage of somebody that was chosen of God. That's why we need to cover our kids in prayer. That's why we need to correct our kids when they're young. And that's why we don't let them do anything they want to do. All right? Amen. There's Bible for that. Hallelujah. Amen. But he died, and so the father said, well, the next son needs to go on and raise up seed. Well, he didn't want to do that either, and he didn't obey the messenger, and he was also killed. And so the younger boy was too young to marry, and so Judah, he told him, he says, you just remain a widow in my house, and when this my young son's grown, I'm going to give him to you. Well, the young man grew up. She waited. She was faithful. But he was never given to her. So in the time, Judah's wife died, and the Bible says he was comforted. And he went on this trip, and Tamar was told he was leaving, and she went on, and she disguised herself to look like a woman of the street. And when this godly man that God chosen seen her, he says, oh, I'm going into her. So he went to make a deal with her. And the price was a lamb, but he didn't have it. And so he says, well, can I give you anything that you can hold? She says, yeah, you can give me your staff. You give me your ring on your hand. Give me the rings around your arms. These are signifying his calling. And he gave it to her. And he went under her. And she conceived. He went on, and he sent her back a lamb, but she wasn't there. And he didn't know what happened. So a few months goes by. Some messengers come to him. And he says, well, Tamar, she's been playing the harlot, and she's pregnant. Well, bring her here. We're going to stone her. We're going to burn her. We're going to take care of that sin. And so she says, well, wait a minute. She says, of this staff and this ring and these bracelets was the man by whom I'm pregnant. And so the messengers come to Judah. And his response to this was, she is more righteous than I. He accepted his fault and he repented. So did God choose wrong? What's the combination here? What's the deal? Does God choose perfect people? No. Listen to me. There is no perfect people. The devil's telling you you can't serve God because what you've done, what's in your past. I'm here to tell somebody that God is never going to judge your future by your past. Never. No, never, never, never. I pastor a bunch of saints, and I love them. There's no greater people on the earth than the NUPAC people. They are awesome people. Some of them can come at the altar and get filled with the Holy Ghost, go right out the door. They're freshly filled, and the devil attacks them. Let me tell somebody this. If the devil will take you at your best, because that's you just got refilled, your victory, hallelujah, you walk out the door. If the devil will take you at your best, I'm here to tell somebody that God will take you at your worst. That's what he does. But the enemy tells you, well, since you've talked like that, since you've done that, God doesn't want you. That's a lie. Because whom God chooses, he's chosen you because he knows your heart, and he tries your heart. And yes, you're going to make mistakes, but what do you do with your mistakes? What do you do when a messenger comes up and the messenger talks to you? Judas begat Phares and Zer of Tamar. Phares begat Esrom. Esrom begat Abram. Abram begat Abinadab. Then it had begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Solomon. Solomon begat Joaz of Rahab. Rahab was a Moabite. Should have never been in the kingdom. But somehow she made up her mind when she met this person that was from Bethlehem, Judah, from the house of bread. When she was going to go back to the house of bread, something drew this Moabite. And she says, you know, I like you so much. You're such an awesome person. You know, where you go, I'm going to go. Your people's going to be my people. Then she spoke this. My God's going to be your God. A Moabite. A people of God cursed. And when she said that, when she spoke that, she changed something in heaven. So Boaz and Rahab, they married, got together, and they had a son named Obed. And this man had Jesse, the father of David, the man after God's own heart. Do you think that God chose David because their heart was the same? Let me tell you what, my Bible tells me that God is a spirit. He ain't got a blood pumper. He's a spirit. So what, David and him was alike in a different way. So this David, if you read his history, you'll see he was a young man. He had ruddy hair. He didn't look like the rest of them. They thought something was funny about that. They thought that, well, maybe he's from another man. Maybe some adultery had taken place here. And we're just going to make him eat on that other table over there. And we're going to make him go out in the field when he's a kid. Maybe a lion will kill him. Maybe a bear will kill him. But somehow that mama had taught little David about God. Hallelujah. And God, he was out there alone, and he turned to God. And God helped him slay the lion, kill the lion. The lion came and the bear. But he was still disowned by his brethren. Disowned by his brethren, but he was not disowned by God. And he became king over Israel. And he did a good job, and he was a king. But one day, when a king should have been out to battle and he should have been doing the work of the Lord, he stayed home. You can't quit fighting just because you get old. You can't quit the work of God just because you get old. There's no retirement for me. I'm not retiring. I'm going to get old, God willing, but I ain't retiring. I'm going to turn into a snowbird for a certain part of the year, and some of my brethren think I'm retiring. I ain't retiring. You hear that? I'm not retiring. I'm going to work the kingdom of God down there. I'm going to lift up Alaska down there. Amen. We're going to get some funding down there. Hallelujah. And in the summertime, we're coming back here and doing the work as long as God allows me. But David was resting, and he was kind of getting a little bored. And I tell you what, there's a danger in getting bored. Your mind will wander. Your eyes will wander. You'll do things you never thought you would do. And he looks down, and he sees this woman, and she's taking a bath. And in fact, her name is Bathsheba. Can you imagine that? And he said, who's that? Good-looking woman. And one of his servants said, well, that's the wife of Uriah. And I didn't even hesitate. He goes, go get her for me. You know, this guy had lots of concubines. He had wives. But he was bored. Are you bored? Do you get bored working for God? There's a danger in getting bored. Danger. The danger of not coming to church. There's a danger of not being faithful. Danger in that. Getting pulled away and making all kinds of excuses why not to go. I can't go on Wednesday night because Sherry won't give me a ride. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble now. All kinds of excuses. All kinds of excuses, all kinds of reasons why we can't go and can't be there and can't be faithful. David was not being faithful, and he led him to have an adultery with another man's wife. And there was a child that was conceived, and when David heard that the child, that there was going to be a baby, well, he went and he called Uriah back in from the battle, got him drunk, going to send him home. Uriah was more righteous than he. He says, I can't do that. I'm going to stay here and protect my king. Joab and the whole army's down there. And they're fighting. I'm not going home to my wife. Well, David sent his death warrant back with him and a message to Joab. And says, in the heat of the battle, pull back and let Uriah fall. And it happened. Then a messenger came to David. He gave this story about this visitor coming, this rich man that had a whole flock of lambs. He decided to go take this poor man's lamb and slay it and kill it and use that instead of one of his own. And David heard that. That ain't right. Oh, I'll take care of that business. And the messenger says, thou art the man, David. Now, here's why David is a man after God's own heart. He didn't say, no, that ain't true. He didn't lie about it. He said, I'm caught. God has sent a messenger to me, and I have to respond. And David, he started in sackcloth and ashes because it was told him that the child was going to die. And he prayed and he fasted and he sackcloth and he tried to change God's mind. But the child died. So when the child died, the servants were afraid to tell him. And so he looks and he sees the servants acting a little weird, and they've probably been afraid to tell him stuff in the past, and he recognized the action, and he says, is the child dead? And they said, yeah, the child's dead. And so he gets up, and he does something so out of character to them. He washed his face, cleaned the ashes off of him, put on a nice suit of clothes, and he went to the house of the Lord and worshiped. Let me explain the difference between worship and praise to you. Worship is not praise. Praise is this. Hallelujah! Oh, I love you, Jesus. What we did here was praise. Worship, you study that word, it means to bow to the Lord. That means your will. David didn't walk into that church clapping and praising God. Thank you for killing my kid. No, he went in there and bowed. And so the servants later, they said, why did you do that? And he said, well, when the child was alive, you know, there was a chance that God would change his mind. But since God took him, he's not coming to me. I'm going to go to him. And in order for me to go be with my child, I'm going to bow to God and I'm going to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to praise God. So his repentance, did God choose right? When God chose Jesse, chose the Moabites and chose David. Did God choose? I'm talking to you tonight about who God chooses. I'm talking to somebody today that don't think God chose right. If God knew my past, God knows your past. He knows your future too. Hallelujah. He ain't judging you because of your past. He has called you because of what you can be. But it depends on what you speak. It depends on your response to your messenger. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord was giving me this message in the loader at the mine. And often, my God is so cool. He comes to me all by myself in a loader in the middle of nowhere above the Arctic Circle and loves me, and his presence is in there, and he touches me and he talks to me. And you know what I do? I take that bucket of that loader and I get it as high as I can get it, and I run around in circles and I praise him and I worship him. I close my eyes. I get it all the way turned to the right. It ain't gonna roll over nothing. And I just close my eyes, put my hands in the air. The men up there are going, what's that crazy loader doing? Let me tell you what, we've run a slew of guys off of that belt up there, worshiping in there. God says, if you will praise me where other men curse me, I will give you revival. I was just looking for a Bible study. I wasn't looking for revival, but God had bigger things in mind. Maybe God's got something bigger in mind for you. But it comes through bowing. While I was in this loader, Pastor, Sister Farmer, Grandma Farmer, she's my adopted mom. She adopted me. I didn't adopt her. But what a wonderful lady. She was my dad's first wife. And the Lord let me know that he chose her, and he also chose my dad to be her husband, to protect her, to be a part of the ministry. Who knows how God called dad. But dad wouldn't listen. And dad left, and dad would mess around with other women. And finally, dad, he found this woman he really liked, my mother. And I love my mother. My mother's awesome. In her later years, she was in the presence of God. She says, why did nobody ever tell me about this? But the Lord said, I could not use your dad, just like I couldn't use David. And so your dad couldn't build the house. So Solomon built the house. And just like David and Solomon, God chose my dad's son. Because the father wouldn't listen, did not stop God. Today, the other woman's children, my sister and me, are living for God today. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name. Because God chose. So my question to you today is God going to have to bypass you and go to your children to get his will done? You know one thing I like about God? I love this about people. I love stubborn, bullheaded people. They are the most awesome thing. I tell you what, I got some of the most stubborn men in the world in my church, and I love them. You know what I've learned about stubborn people? That when they get on the right track, you can't get them on. You want them whether you like them and you want them or not. They're there. I think that's kind of the way God is. I think when he makes his mind up about a person or about a lineage, he says, I'm going to use them no matter what. And if their dad don't want to do right, their mom don't want to do right, I'm going to use the kids. You know, I can see this in Scripture with kings, where kings will do exactly the opposite of what God wants. And three or four generations later, Asa comes along, and he does everything that God wants him to do. Almost, because he's not perfect. He didn't take away the high places. I've seen the look. But this is in God's Word over and over and over again. Would you bring up Lamentations 3:22 for me? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You see, he's chosen you, and you're not perfect. So what? Look at the lineage of Jesus. Can you hear me today? Can you open your heart to hear the messenger today? God chose you. He didn't choose you because you was perfect. He didn't choose you because you weren't going to make a mistake down the road. Even mistakes that men would give up on you on. See, men won't forgive, but God will. But if you get right with God, you'll have power with God and man. So you got to get God. Amen. Verse 23 says that these mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, he's going to be faithful to you no matter what you do. No matter what you do, he's going to be faithful. His mercies are new. That doesn't mean new and improved. We go to the store, we find this new and improved bottle of Anacin or Tylenol or something. If there ain't one out now, just wait, it's coming. New and improved. That ain't God's mercies. If you study that out, that means brand new, never been used before. Every day he has brand new mercies for you. The devil's talking to you. He's beating you up. Somebody stand with me. He's been telling you can't live for God. Amen. He's telling you you've done too much wrong. He's telling you, no, God don't want you. And every morning you get up, there's a brand new mercy waiting to meet you. God is faithful. Amen. The Lord will never judge your future by what has happened to you, even if it happened yesterday. If there's conviction in your heart and there's, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that in your soul, good. Good. That's God doing his work. You know, we read about and we see about the right hand of God, power. And we see it moving. It splits water in half. His move is powerful. But what about the left hand of God? I see in Job, where Job's saying, I can't find you on the right. I can't find you on the left. Can't find you nowhere. But I know that you're doing a work because that's what your left hand does. His left hand does like the very first song we sang tonight. You can't see it happening. But he's working in your life. He's working out your future. He's going to give you another chance, Judah. He's going to give you another chance, David. He's going to give you another chance, somebody. He is there. He don't make mistakes. Psalms 103 and 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our He ain't going to hold them against you if you repent. That's the key of this whole message, is to understand that God chose you, so what are you going to do with it? God's going to use you, what are you going to do with it? God is calling somebody today, what are you going to do with it? Colossians 3, and 3. Repentance is death. Go ahead and put that up there. And if you've repented, then your life is hid. Do you see that? If you've repented, God don't see your sin no more. And he just moves to the next miracle. Sister Sherry, just moves to the next blessing. Just, he ain't worried about your past. He's worried about your future. Pastor, I'm not exactly sure how to end this, so I'm going to hand you the microphone in just a minute. I want my life hid in Christ.
Yes.
I want to be a man. I know I'm not perfect. Just ask my sister. She'll tell you. Ask Brother Abbott. He'll tell you. I'm not perfect, but I love God. And when I sin, I repent. When something comes out of my mouth that shouldn't come out, I repent.
Right.
Because I feel a conviction.
Yes.
And God chose me. Sister, I'm going to be used. His mercies are new every morning. New every morning.
God's choices. Brother Mike, get 1 Corinthians 1, 27. We make choices. We go to the store. There are choices. We go to the restaurant. There are choices. You go to the gas pump, there are choices. We make choices all the time. The spiritual choices are the most important. They are the priority. And the principles that are there in the Word of God are what we have to base those choices on. Because that's what's eternal. The other choices may affect day by day. Other choices, finances, investments, and so on, may affect later years. But eternal choices are what we've got to pay attention to. God's choices perhaps may be mocked. God's choices may appear confusing. Read verse 27.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise,
foolish things, weak things. God has a purpose. God has a plan. You may not value yourself very highly. You may think you have very little to offer the kingdom of God. But God chooses you because He can turn things. He can change things. He can make things because of His choice. Verse 28, Brother Mike.
And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are.
So he continues, base things, things that are just common, things that are not valued, things that are despised, things which are not, because he has a plan. Because he has a way. Because he has the power to bring changes that we cannot produce on our own. And oh, I'm thankful. That's who we walk with. That's who we believe. That's who we trust. That's who we know is in power. Can we just raise our hands right now all around this place? Niengo po salalo bo ke se telalo moha. Ningan tolalo mo ke. Mie su husita tolalo ba. Ninga ba ta talalo moho. Kiso tolalo rima. Ah, la malala ba koso konde la rabanda. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. If you're thankful that God has chosen you, and you're willing to conform to His will, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, come up and pray here today. Come up and pray right now. Come up and commit yourself again. I belong to you, Lord. You've chosen me, Lord. You've called me, Lord. Out of darkness into your marvelous light. And oh Lord, I choose to walk in that light. I choose to serve you, Lord. I choose to follow you, Lord.